Welcome back to NHL Live. Don LeGrenca and EJ Raddick taking you up until 2 o'clock Eastern time. I lifted a chair, and to this moment, I can't tell you why I did it.
Yeah, I can't.
Other than maybe to entertain the masses.
That's the beauty of the show. If we come into this room, it's like outside. We go outside of the room, and we transform back into, like, normal, law-abiding citizens.
But
in this room, you never know what's going to happen. I certainly have, like, a transformation, and you're out here lifting chairs. I don't see that happening every other day.
You know what? All bets are off once the mics are on.
That's
you never
right.
know what's going to happen.
Save it for the air.
All right, we'll get to your calls and your emails. Let's get to an email here while we're waiting for Alex Tanga to give us a call. This is from Tom in New York. He said, hey, Don and EJ, simply stated, your show rules. I have a question about the New York Rangers and say there's unwillingness to re-sign Avery. With the recent move of Straka back to the Czech Republic and Jager still unsure of his future, why not re-sign a young, under 30, rough-and-tumble player in Avery, even if he is asking for $3 or $4 million? The salary cap has increased, and Avery is a proven player in the Rangers system. The fans love him, and he does what needs to get done on a daily basis. What do the Rangers do to fill these gaping holes they will occur if Sather doesn't do some work? Have a good day, stay dry, and thanks for taking the time to answer the concerns of NHL fans.
Boy, you read that so well.
Thank you.
I got to say.
Now, the show has really come together today. I'm reading emails.
You're reading well. You have come a long way.
It's because of you.
You've come a long way. No, I don't think
Your mockery has got me going.
That's right. You the pressure of me.
Between the blogger.
Brian and us waiting to hammer you as soon as you mess up.
Hey, there was a blogger out there that called me fat. You making fun of my reading skills.
You know what?
It turned it around.
That's right. That one guy who said you were pensive, and then the guy said pensive is another word for fat. And here you are, 28 pounds later.
That's it.
What are you, 28?
It's 28 and a half.
Wow. Wow, that's great. Good for you. That really is great. All joking aside and everything. That is terrific. Because it's not easy to do it, and you know, I've gone through it myself, and you know, good for you. Keep it up in the summer. Summer is a good time to, like, you know, get a little more exercise in, because like during the week, you know, you're busy. You got the, as I've said all year, you got the 98 jobs, so it's hard for you to take. It's hard just to get time to exercise. You really have to make time for that, and you know, the summer you'll have a little more time, so do that. As for Sean Avery and everything with the Rangers, I mean, that's one of those things. You got two guys who are kind of dug in here. Sean Avery on one side, Glenn Sather on the other. And I think Glenn is smart not to want to overpay for Sean Avery. There's certain things that he brings to it. I like Sean Avery. I'll actually be happy when he leaves if he leaves the Rangers, because then we'll have him on the show again.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because you know, when you're a Ranger, you kind of are like off limits.
He'll be out of media
like,
jail.
To do like anything but MSG, I guess. But you know, we occasionally get a guy. But I mean, Scott Gomez used to have a great I had a great relationship with Scott Gomez. The Devil used to talk to him all the time. Now, if you see him in the room, you can chat with him. But
hey,
haven't had him on the show.
We're actually approaching the 1 year anniversary of the last time we spoke.
Oh, really?
He doesn't return my calls.
Wow.
He doesn't return my text messages.
Wow.
And I do the pre and post for the Rangers.
That is so unfortunate, because he's a nice enough fella.
Yeah, you know what?
I love his dad, Carlos Gomez. He's a great guy.
I've talked to his dad twice in that span.
Yeah. Did you say, like, you know, what's
no,
up with your
I'm
boy?
No, I'm not interested, because I've
You're not
said
interested.
Many times before. I probably have more friends than I need. I'm looking to shave friends off, not add.
Okay.
Probably got 3 or 4 more than I should.
Really?
So if he doesn't want to be there, all right. Then
all
that's
right,
two,
move on.
That's one less I got to knock off the list.
I like that attitude.
Yeah.
I like that attitude. But anyways, but that's the good news for me here. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I know Ranger fans want to keep Sean Avery, and I hope for those people, because, you know, they'll be upset if he leaves. I hope it works out. I hope Sean Avery does what he thinks is best for him, and he gets a good deal here. But for my own selfish sentiments for the show, I hope he goes somewhere else, because then we could have him on the show and he'd be a great guest. We could talk about all these different things, his music, things that he's interested in, the clothing business. He can come in and dazzle us with a couple of discussions about designer clothes. The Rangers, you can't get him anything.
Well, last time we had him on, it was weird because he was a king.
And he just hammered
it
L.A.
It was during the All-Star game. We were both in Dallas, and Avery
so
was back in New
too,
York.
Yeah.
And it was a very disconcerting conversation. We lost the feed at one point, and I was interviewing him on the phone.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't good.
And
but he was good.
I think he said something about wanting, like, Los Angeles to sink into the ocean or
something.
Something
like that,
like,
yeah.
He left no doubt about how he felt about Los Angeles.
He didn't get along as well with Mark Crawford, and so he wanted out, and he was able to kind of facilitate that move. But
well, good for him, and be opinionated. I got no problem with that.
The league needs that a little bit of that.
You know,
he's not making it up. He's a crazy guy.
The fans love him, but $4 million a year I think is just too much.
Yeah.
I just think he can't do it, because what it does, it sets a precedent for everybody else. What's Ryan Callahan going to want when his contract is up, when he has 10 more goals than Avery does?
Hey, listen, you know what? You're worth what somebody will pay for you. That's what it comes down to. So we'll see what happens with Sean. coming up on July 1st.
Let's go to the newest Montreal Canadian traded at the deadline, Alex Tanguay, and he joins us here on NHL Live. Alex, it's Don and EJ. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Alex, thanks for taking a few minutes for us. We're doing pretty good. We're having a good show today, and we're happy to have you be a part of it because, you're a guy who's been in this league for a while now, a terrific player. And, we had Mike Camilleri on yesterday, so now we have you on today. And I always like to ask guys who get traded how they find out about it. So how did the whole process – how did you learn about this trade from Calgary to Montreal?
Well, I had asked – at the end of the year, I think me and Daryl sat down, and we kind of agreed. I think it'd be better for his team and it'd be better for me if we kind of went our separate ways. So I was kind of expecting it. So I knew that the draft with the so many general manager being there. So I started watching and I saw Mike Camilleri was traded to Calgary. So I figured I was probably going to get a phone call in the hours or days to come. And about 15 minutes later, I got a text message from Daryl saying that I'd been traded to Montreal. So.
Well, you're a guy from Quebec. So I mean, how exciting was it for you to get traded to the Montreal Canadiens? I mean, I would have been just blown off my feet.
Yeah, I was certainly excited. I was a Nordiques fan growing up. Putting the jersey on, but no, I'm excited. Getting the chance to play in front of fans and friends and family. It's been a while. I've always played out west, and I'm looking forward to the challenge of. Playing here in Montreal. This is a great opportunity. This is a great team. I think the team is, took a giant step last year forward, and I'm just looking to come in and contribute as best as I can to help the team.
I wanted to ask you about that rivalry between the Nordiques and the Canadiens. I think Marty Biron is also in that, where that area but was a Nordiques
fan.
That's
right.
And even though you were only separated by a couple of hours, Alex, that was a pretty fierce rivalry. There was no love lost between probably those two teams and those two fan bases.
Yeah, well, you guys in New York, I think you probably see what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees and the Rangers and the Islanders and all those situations. It was pretty similar in Quebec. It was pretty intense, If you were a Nordiques fan and the Nordiques won the day before, you could rub it in a little bit to the Montreal fan, and it was the other way around. You didn't want to talk to Montreal fans if they had won the night before. So it's, I think my grandfather, who was a diehard Nordiques fan, probably turned around in this, when he heard the news. But no, it's good. I'm like I said, it's a great opportunity for me. The Canadian play a style that fits my game a little bit. They skate. They like to hold on to the puck. They like to move around And I think I can be. I'm hoping I can be a good help to the team.
Well, Alex, we do this show from the NHL store in Midtown Manhattan. If you're ever in the area, come in, because we do sell Nordique jerseys and hats and T-shirts. So if you want to just relive the past, you could do that. Who was your favorite Nordique player growing up?
Well, first few years, Peter Stastny. I think he was one of the best centermen in the game at the time he was playing, and then it evolved to Joe Sakic. So Joe's still around and. Still a friend of mine. We, love to watch him play. He's an outstanding player. So I think those were the two guys I pretty much grew up watching and idolizing. And, Joe, I still idolize to this day. So, mm-hmm.
Hey, Alex, it must have been interesting for you because, you got picked. You were a first-round pick, 12th overall pick, Colorado Avalanche, not the Quebec Nordiques, but, that's who they became. I mean, that must have been kind of interesting for you because, on one hand, you were probably, that's thrilling. On the other hand, it's probably a little sad because, that was the team that you rooted for and they were gone at some point.
Well, I was excited. I was getting to play with a great organization, a great team, a team that right away gave me the opportunity. In my first year, we lost in the conference finals. Second year, we won the Stanley Cup. Third year, we lost in the conference finals. So if we would have been a little bit more lucky, I could have three Stanley Cup ringers right now. But
wow.
This was a great opportunity, and I was happy to go to Colorado, former Nordiques. I like I told you guys, idolizing Joe Sakic as a kid it was fun to be around those guys. Patrick Waugh, who's an icon in Quebec, getting to live with him my first year and a half, it was great. It was I couldn't have asked for a better experience. And now I'm starting to be a little bit more older, so I don't know what my role is going to be with the Canadiens, but I'm definitely looking forward to help the team. And with the steps they took last year, I think and the young guys being a year older, a year more mature, I think this team is definitely headed the right direction.
You know, Alex, you mentioned you came into that Avalanche team with all those star players, and Ray Bourque showed up there later. What was that intimidating for you at all as a young guy? Because, I mean, you're like you say, I mean, Joe Sakic, you had idolized. Peter Forsberg was there. Ray Bourque eventually got there. Patrick Waugh. I mean, this was a monster team.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it wasn't intimidating because I certainly wasn't, you know. I was at awe my first few years. You know, you walk into the dressing room, you know, sitting there to your left is Joe Sakic, sitting a little bit to your right is Peter Forsberg, Patrick Waugh, Rob Blake, Ray Bourque, Adam Foote. You know, the list goes on. Hey, Duke Drury. It was pretty much an all-star team, and it was certainly fun to be a part of that. And with that, we managed to win the Stanley Cup in 2001, and I think that's the ultimate. That's what you play for. You look at the team that I've done it in the past. It's great memories for the rest of your life. It's something that you'll never forget, and I'm hoping to get to that point sometime soon.
You know what, guys? It's probably good that they went to Colorado, because if they stayed in Quebec, I don't think there's any chance that the Canadians would have traded Patrick Waugh to the Nordiques.
Well, it would have had to be a three-way deal, that's for sure.
I don't think that would have happened directly.
They would have had to have a gun involved somewhere in there, too, I think.
We're talking to Alex Tanguay of the Montreal Canadiens here on NHL Live. And, well, talk about your 2 years in Calgary. Was it good for you?
Yeah, it was good. You know, it was a good learning experience. My first year, things went well, and I worked hard, and you know, last year was I just played. I was given the role, and I tried to do the best job with the role I had. But I, at the end of the year, throughout the year, I felt, you know, I sat down with Daryl, and I felt that maybe for their team going forward and for me going forward with the new economics of the NHL, with me being, you know, a high paid player, or you know, making the salary I'm making, I felt that maybe it'd be better if we, you know, we go our separate ways, because I didn't feel comfortable with the role I was having there and the money I was making, and you know, I just wanted to go and look for some better option for myself at the end of the year, and I'm happy I'm in Montreal now.
Hey, Alex, what are you know, we on this show we talked to a lot of players, and we try to talk about some of the other things that they're into. What are some of the other interests that you have as far as maybe other sports? Did you play any other sports growing up as a kid? Do you follow other sports, or were your interests into some other areas?
Yeah, I can honestly say I'm a sports junkie, so I pretty much follow every sport. I'm having a hard time now keep up with baseball as much as I used to in the past because of, you know, with the Expos being gone here in Montreal, the coverage is not as good as it used to be, but big soccer fan. I'm watching the Euro right now, you know, we'll see what goes on there. I love to golf, but with a new baby, I think it cuts down on my golf game a little bit.
Well, congratulations on a new baby.
Yeah, thanks.
So what is your expectations as far as Montreal is concerned? This is a team that was the number one seed in the conference. They had the best power play in the National Hockey League. Have you had conversations on exactly where you're going to fit in there?
No, not yet. I've spoken with Bob Gainey for a few minutes on draft day, and obviously, they were busy, and they're still busy right now with what's going on with Sundin. And I think the coach Carboneau, they were saying here in the paper that he just had hip surgery, so I haven't had any conversation with him as of yet. But I'm sure we'll talk throughout the summer. And I'm just right now getting rested, getting mentally and physically ready for next year. And that's where my preparation is. And we'll see once I get to camp what kind of role and where they want me to fit in.
You know, one of the things too, Alex, when a guy gets traded like that, what do you have to do as far as your accommodations? I'm sure you had a place to live in Calgary. I mean, you have to sell that. Did you have a place? Because you're from Quebec, did you have a place in Montreal already?
No, I grew up in Quebec City, so we've got a house in Quebec City, and we've got a house in Calgary. The house in Calgary is for sale right now, as we speak, and the right now in Montreal, I think we're probably going to look at renting for a year, and you know, we'll see where that will take us.
Hey, listen, we had Mike Camilleri in here yesterday. I wish we would have known. We could have tried to sell your house
to him. Yeah, you guys could have hooked me up.
You know, like Ronnie Wilson was on with us yesterday. He just sold his house in San Jose. I mean, we could have taken care of you.
Good. Well, If it doesn't work with that realtor, I'll call you guys in the next couple weeks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Alex. Best of luck in Montreal. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Alex.
That's Alex Tanguay of the Montreal Canadiens. Great kid. A lot of great conversation. And I'll tell you, that rivalry between the Nordiques and the Canadiens didn't last a long, long time because it was only about a decade long, but there's a lot that goes into that rivalry because from what I understand, there's that separatist group in Quebec that they kind of adopted the Nordiques. Yeah. Is that it was their city and the big bad Canadians.
Well, Quebec City is more, I mean, I remember going there, you know, when they were in the league, and it was very, very French. Like, you go to Montreal, you have French, you have English. I mean, you go to Quebec City, people are speaking French.
Yeah, because if you remember, if like Montreal and in Ottawa as well, they will give the penalties and the goals in French and in English. But when the Nordiques played at home at Le Colisée, they never even gave it in English.
Really?
They just
gave it
in French.
I didn't know that.
Because I think it was only 2% English speaking at the time up there.
Yeah.
And that was difficult for a lot of North American players that weren't from that province to go there because they really struggled with the language.
I remember this. I had a fun time there when I was up there for things. I thought it was a beautiful city, and it's kind of a shame they don't have a team. But who knows how things are going to go. I keep hearing all this talk. The Canadian dollar is so strong, and all these people want to, get teams. I would guess they'd have to get a better building there if they're ever to think about having it again. But it's a beautiful city, that's for sure, and a lot of great, passionate hockey people come from out of that region.
All About You coming up, 877-645-6696. Emails, NHL Live at xmradio.ca. Don and EJ till the top of the hour here on NHL Live.